We got out of the truck and faced the four quadrants, with Mama Tsuji in the middle conversing rapidly in Japanese. Why the hell were so many practitioners here and gunning for Endicott and Marlowe? My friends had done nothing to deserve such extreme adverse attention. Our opponents surrounded us but did not yet charge. Instead, two North Koreans dressed all in black aimed handguns at us.
No guns on this ground!
She stomped her foot. Red, glowing craft leapt up from the street. Flesh sizzled as the North Koreans dropped their weapons. This land didn't like guns. This was the only signal our opponents needed. They came at us in a charging mass of dark business suits, and we fought. With my pregnant sensitivity, I felt or heard with sonar-like detail what I couldn't see of my comrades fighting. Dale's katana flashed up and down, slashed side to side, splattering blood everywhere. The copter tried an overflight, but Dale shook it with wind until it backed off.
In God's name, stop moving!
Endicott was using his commands again, now that he could make hesitation a fatal flaw. Endicott's blade was economical. When his craft-commanded opponent paused, it struck, then parried the next opponent while readying another prayer for death. But it was Grace's fighting that stunned me.
Quire non gares, potes vitare!
She glowed like a furnace in craft sight as she executed combinations and snapped her opponent's bones. She purred her Latin craft like a phone sex operator. Sexual energy had always been intimate with her craft, and Kabukicho had all the energy she could want.
You came for us here. Better the Marlowe house itself than here.
Little old me? Of course, I'd brought my knives, long and short. Our attackers' points of vulnerability called to me like mewling kittens. And I hit them with all of my new maternal strength. Still, as we were, we couldn't win. We were badly outnumbered. The Shaolin were masters, and their North Korean proxies were not mere zombies. The treacherous ninjas were as skilled as their loyal colleagues. They were landing blows. They were making cuts. I was bleeding from gashes as I struggled to heal more serious internal damage and to keep my baby from harm. Worse, something was wrong with Dale. He seemed to be tiring more rapidly than the rest of us, and that was very unlike him. One way or another, this would end soon. We weren't completely engaged, though. Since she'd disabled the guns, Mama Tsuji had done nothing but talk on her earpiece.
A little help?
Agreed.
Mama Tsuji raised a hand. And up and down the street, the lights and neon went dead. The electricity was cut off. Our opponents slackened their blows, uncertain. Then, glowing in craft sight, they came. From the love hotels, nightclubs, and hostess bars emerged the women in schoolgirl fetish wear, in sailor shirts and skirts, the men in glam Elvis garb, and the transgenders in colorful combat kimonos. In command of them all, Kaguya-san, dressed in naval officer whites. She and her loyal ninjas had at last entered the ring. I finally understood. To avoid any more surprises, she had waited for the enemy to commit everything before going all in herself. Like the 47 Ronin, her loyalists must have been actually engaged in all the activities of the Pleasure District to fool Farsight. It looked like we might win. Then I saw what had been happening to Dale. A North Korean attacked him, not with particular skill or hope of success. Dale slashed his neck and he went down. But in my craft sight, I saw Dale's energy bleed off with the spirit of the departing North Korean. Dale's already low life force was now at its limit. Fuck no. Another Korean was approaching.
Dale, wait! I'm coming!
One of the Shaolins yelled something, and all the enemy shifted. Like basketball players, they were setting picks on us, containing me and everyone else from reaching Dale.
Dale, fall back!
But either he didn't hear me or just didn't listen. He swung the light katana around as if it were as heavy as a broadsword, but it did the job. The North Korean fell next to his comrades. Dale, his life force draining away, toppled to the ground. With their preternatural swiftness, two Shaolin swooped in, lifted Dale's body, and bore him away at a sprint.